Why, Daisy, you're a bloody miracle. Could anyone among us have an inkling or a clue what magic feats or wizardry and voodoo you can do?
And who would ever guess what powers you possess? And who would not be stunned to see you prove? There's more to us than surgeons can remove. So much more than we ever knew. So much more were we born to do. Should you draw back the curtain, these I am certain, you'll be impressed with you.
Outshines us.
star, you feel a part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can hear from far and near a world you've never before.
Good morning. You're listening to KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM on your dial or digital readout. I'm Jim McMahon, and this is One from the Heart.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
I did. I knew that.
Now.
I knew that. I don't think my mic's on, but I knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you're number three.
There's a reason there's a number on there.
Oh, so that's what they're
that's
for.
To help you out.
Ah.
That's what that's for.
Yeah, I'm so used because at the other station, it's just two buttons.
Yep. Now it's complicated.
Yes.
You have to be able to count to four.
I probably should turn microphone two off so we don't get an echo.
I think that would be a really great idea.
Oops. Anyway, I think that, you know who it is, right? You know who it is, don't you?
I do.
Out there?
I do. I know who it is.
It's...
They don't know, though. You should tell them.
It's Scout, Lichen Pathfinder, Bartlett, Lichen Pears.
That was good. You paused there for a moment. I thought, oh, my gosh, after all this time, he doesn't know my name.
No, that was a dramatic pause.
It was. It was good. It was excellent. It made me nervous. It put me right on the edge of my seat. So I have a birthday announcement today.
Oh,
so, officially, even though we're a couple of days behind, this is officially a happy birthday, and she told me I could even use her whole name because she's just that much of a appreciator of being glorified. So, happy birthday to Lisa Loud. So, I think it's only appropriate that we give her the big birthday song, don't you?
Absolutely.
This is your birthday song. It isn't very long.
You can hear this and other songs on Scout Bartlett's Greatest Hits.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
That would be good. So happy birthday, Lisa Loud. Happy birthday, yes. Lisa Loud. Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
See, there we go. Which is really cute because she's not. She is Lisa, but she's not particularly loud.
Oh, she's not loud.
She's just out there. So, happy November.
Yes,
it's November already. I want to thank everybody that came out to hang out with us at East West when we did our big Halloween thing. Lots of them came costumed, which was really very fun. And we had almost 100 people there.
Weren't you going to give prizes or something?
I did. I gave away. In fact, I gave away, it's like, you know, don't you do this at your house? I gave away like something around $1,500 worth of stuff. I'm serious.
Serious?
Yep. Because everybody that was in costume, I gave them a CD of my summer solstice meditation, and I gave them a discount ticket for the workshop that's tonight, by the way. So I want to invite everybody that's listening
to come
and see us tonight, because today is the 1th of the month Wednesday.
Is it East West or Watchtower?
It's at the Clock Tower.
So
item C, none of the above.
Okay.
Item Clock C, Tower. None of the above. East West is the unusual event. The every month event is at our workshop facility that we rent at the Clock Tower Conference Center, which is on Wisman Road. But you can find all that information in my website by going to my website, which is lifeinsights.net, or the .com shortcut is...
Not Scout. I mean, whoops. Rerun.
That was impressive. You're just keeping my adrenaline up.
Tonight. Yeah, okay. Not
we'll try
Scott.
That again. My website, which is lifeinsights.net, or the .com shortcut is...
Not Scott.
Because it is...
It's a .com.
That's right. It's a .com. Yep. Not Scott.com. It sort of rhymes-ish. Not yeah. Scott. Dot.
Yeah. Not Scott.
The com doesn't rhyme, though. Anyway, and then...
I haven't made that mistake in a long time.
And then click on Onth. Click on Onth, as in Onth of the Month, and that's in the and there's other stuff. There's yeah. actually, I think only one of our radio shows is up on there under radio.
Yeah.
But there will be more shortly. In fact, I'm hoping if everything works well, maybe we'll even have today's show up.
Yeah, and then, of course...
Cute. I wonder if the telephone lines really do or don't work. Now I'm puzzled.
My feeling is that she, Catherine thought they worked last week.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Don.
And, no, not week, it was the week before. And, was Catherine here last week with Don?
No.
Catherine and Don are brothers. I mean, brother
that's
and
right.
sister. Brother and sister.
That's
brother
right.
and sister.
You're having a hard time today.
I tell you, it's... the cerebral cortex is still asleep.
So for those of you that want to make a journey up to Contra Costa in the little tiny town of Martinez... They are currently running the inaugural run of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the musical. I will tell you, it's a little edgy, and there's adult language in it, and great deals of splatters of fake blood and gore and such. It had a lot of moments to it. It was pretty funny.
You'll love it. It sounds like a hoot.
It was. It was very funny. You felt like you were just kind of part of a... experimental theater production with several phenomenal performers and the rest of it looking more like experimental theater.
I know we're having, we're getting some interesting shows here in San Jose now. And I forget when I think it's before the end of the year. They're going to have Q Avenue, which was a big run up in San Francisco.
Ah,
it's going
cool.
to be here. And I hear that's a hoot. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
How fun. So have you caught any new movies lately? What have you seen? What'd you like?
Well, last night premiered a pilot episode of...
Why. You were up late watching TV.
Reimagining of V. Remember V?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the lizard people?
Yeah.
And... to prepare people over the weekend, they showed every episode of the old TV series. But last night, it was only on for an hour, 8 to 9,
mm-hmm.
followed by Dancing with the Stars, no pun intended. But it's interesting. I'm reserving my opinion.
I see. You're not sold.
But I would highly recommend a movie I saw a week ago, a Saturday, called The Vampire's Assistant.
The Vampire's Assistant.
You know, and I know it's not doing well at the box office, but what do they know? It really was a good. It's based on a series of books written by Darren Shan, who it also happens to be the main character.
Perfect.
In the book, Darren Shan.
Perfect.
And it stars John C. Reilly,
So it's sort of an autobiography of a vampire.
Yes, sort of like that. And there's actually 12 books in the series. And the series isn't called Vampire's Assistant. The series is called The Cirque du Freaks, or Circus of Freaks.
Ah.
And there's 12 volumes. So,
if
you want to see a good one, it was very, very enjoyable.
Cool.
And it also has Josh Hutcherson, who's been in quite a few movies. His last big movie was A Journey to the Center of the Earth with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, the remake.
In 3D.
So it was sort of Journey to the Center of the New Earth.
Yes. Which was really a good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And he's in production with Red Dawn, the remake. Do you remember the original one?
Oh, yeah.
Made that and Outsiders started the career of a lot of young actors, including Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, who did a few other things after
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
A couple.
And will be missed.
Yep, yep, yep.
So anyway.
Although it's kind of funny, there are some actors that are still alive, and I miss them too. They're just not doing any good work.
And we were talking about Paranormal Activity, which...
which was not easy to say.
Yeah, and I've heard that...
I just think it's interesting that I've not seen it, I won't see it. I don't do horror films very much because they stick with me too long. I have far too deep an awareness of creative aspects.
I don't do slasher movies.
And in fact, that was part of what I was doing at East West on Halloween was we did a string of, and it's really funny, I mean, how do you actually phrase this? Real life ghost stories, my own experiences, real life experiences, although can you say real life about ghost stories? I'm not sure that quite works.
I think so. As you know, I've had a few experiences myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was interesting because I've had a number of interesting experiences along the way, and because I live in this sort of an odd world where I go reset the energy in offices and in homes so that they work better. One of my favorite stories of that was a couple, and they'd had another partner in their practice, and they had these beautiful offices in downtown in San Francisco in the financial district. And they'd heard of me through somebody else who somebody that studied with me was the personal assistant and secretary to a, call him dignitary, not political, but a dignitary. A well-known individual. And this well-known individual was acquainted with these other well-known individuals. And so I had reset his office just to do it for my friend. And he had actually noticed the difference. He had a meditative practice of his own. He'd noticed the difference when he came in, and she told him what I'd done. And so I was resetting his office once or twice a year. And his friends, and I mean, these were the kind of people that as I'm sitting and chatting with them, I recognize that on the credenza behind her desk is a photograph of, I believe it was, as I recall, Nancy Reagan introducing the person I was talking to as she stepped up to the podium.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of level of where they played, not necessarily in the psychic world and metaphysical and esoteric world that I live in. So they didn't really know much about me. They'd kept it a secret from their staff that they were hiring this woo-woo guy to come in and shift the energy. But what had happened was they had dissolved a partnership, and so a third member of their firm was no longer a partner but had sort of not gotten around to moving out of his office in their office suite. You with me? So she said that he would come in and he would like grump around in there for hours and come in and out of his own office, out into the main suite, grumping around, clearly angry, negative vibes and so forth. And so they brought me in to see if I could do anything. And I went in and sat in his office and didn't move a thing. I mean, I certainly wasn't going to disturb anything. It was not my business. But what I did was I took his charge off of everything in the office that didn't belong to him. I just took his energetic charge off of it. I mean, quite literally, that's what I did. It took me about probably an hour and a half because he'd been there for quite a while. And so I just took all of his charge and just reset that space within the suite to neutral and brightened the energy so that it wasn't grumpy anymore. And I know this sounds very weird, but it's true. And then came back out and was sort of telling the couple that had hired me, gave them a quick review of the kind of energy I'd had to take off of the room. And they just kept looking at each other, shocked and their eyes wide. And I finally said, what'd I do? And they said, well, actually, you've just described him perfectly, and we know you've never met him, and we know nobody's told you anything about him, but you've just described him and how the dissolution of our partnership went down. You've just described the whole scenario perfectly. Yeah, well, great, thanks. And then it was kind of funny, because then I said, well, as long as I'm here, do you want me to go ahead and brighten your office? I don't know why I didn't brighten the whole suite, but I didn't. Do you want me to go ahead and brighten your office? And they were kind of like, you know, yeah, sure, and, you know, and pray for me, you know? Like somebody says, oh, you're going to have surgery. You want me to pray for you? Yeah, pray for me. Like nothing's really going to happen. And so I went ahead and did the work in their office in the suite and brightened their office. And then I split. And I actually, because I was in the city, I'd made plans to go have lunch with my friend that had recommended me in the first place. So I went across town. And as I was like opening the door to the suite that she worked in another building across town in the Embarcadero, as I was opening the door, I heard the phone ring. And, you know, I didn't think anything about it. And I just went in and figured I'd be quiet. And she answered the phone as I was walking through the door. And then she started laughing really loud. And she says, hang on. He just walked in. Let me put him on the phone. And it was the people I'd just worked for. And they'd called because they thought it was hysterical. They had not told their staff who I was or what I was there to do. In fact, they'd told their staff that I was somebody that was considering to subletting that other office within their suite once it was empty. That's all they'd told them. Well, they said it was... So I got on the phone and she said it was hysterical because I left. And then one of their staff members came bouncing into their office to ask them about something. And she said she came through the door. She came bouncing through the door, talking to us already. She got about three steps into the room, and she stopped dead and looked around our office and said, did you move stuff around in here or something? It's a lot brighter in here. And then the better part of the story, because then she called me back a week or so later to keep me. She said, I had to tell you this, because you could tell they were still having a really hard time believing that I'd really done anything. She said, I have to tell you this. She said, our former partner came in. She said, and his norm was to come in and clomp through the office and go back and be in and out of his office for a couple of hours when he would come in. And she said, he came in, I'll say last Friday is what she said, last Thursday, whatever day it was. He came in, she said, and it wasn't more than about 15 or probably 20 minutes that he'd been there when he came back out of his office, calm and quiet, not clomping, not angry. He came back out of his office, calm and quiet, and came into our office and said, you know, I figure you guys are probably about ready to have me out of here. So I've called the movers. They'll be here on Tuesday. This was not like they dissolved the partnership a week before. No, this had been going on for months. And yet, coincidentally, the next time he came in after I reset the energy in the office, by coincidence... All he did while he was there that day was set up, call the movers and set it up to have them come move everything. And then he was gone. Interesting stuff like that. And so I reset houses and I reset offices to, I've even reset events for people so that the energy would be bright. So that people would be awake, alert, and get what there was to get at the event. And I just sort of sit in the corner and do it. And so because of that, when friends of mine or when clients have had me reset houses, periodically I'll encounter houses that are preoccupied, as it were, that have one or more spiritual entities or ghosts, as the popular term would be, attached to them. It's interesting. My brain is still shuffling. I was really planning on doing readings today, but we can't do that because we don't have a phone system. So all of y'all, save up your wishing to have a reading on the air until when we do have a phone system. But so periodically I'll encounter houses that are preoccupied. They have a spirit attached to them or a ghost or whatever you want to call it. And then comes the interesting decision on the part of the person that's in charge of the house as to whether they would choose to have that spirit be moved out of the house, whether they're willing or not, or whether they would choose to let the spirit stay, but to, let's say, arrange an agreement of cooperation, if not helpfulness. And I certainly had clients go both ways with that. I mean, sometimes it's just, I want them out. Other times it's like, well, if they want to stay, they can stay as long as they'll be cooperative. And so it's been fun stories because one client there was a ghost in the house who was quite formal. I mean, they ended up naming him Cedric. We don't know if that was a name he's had while he's been alive or not. But that ended up being his name was Cedric. And Cedric had been quite poltergeistic when they first moved in, which is to say, pictures that were solidly hung on the walls would jump off the walls and fall on the floor. I mean, jump is an odd term, but they would, you know, they would be in those good solid picture hangers with good solid picture wire, and the picture hanger would still be in the wall. It's not like the nail broke, and the wire would still be fine, but the picture would jump off the picture hanger and fall on the floor and break the glass. Or things on tables would fall off the tables, and they didn't have cats.
I had a friend who, if he left his kitchen sink, he lived by himself, if he left his kitchen sink messy, when he come home, it would be clean and neat.
Ooh.
If he left the kitchen sink clean and neat, when he came home, it would be messy.
A ghost that cleans. I want one.
Yeah, put me down for one, too.
Yeah, that would work. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, and also he said that he'd be standing outside his garage, and it was the sound of a big box being dragged across the garage floor, which was impossible because his car was in there.
It's those sorts of fun things.
Yeah.
Well, in this household, Cedric was quite poltergeistic. And so things would fall off of tables, pictures would jump off of walls, and that's why they found me in the first place. What's going on, and does it have to do with our children, and are our children in danger? And there is a place that when you've got kids of a certain age, that they shine brightly, which makes them little beacons. You know, it's not necessarily that the children create or draw the entity, any more than the neon sign outside a tavern draws the people who want cocktails. It does, but only because it's a beacon and because that's what they're looking for, and so now they can find it. You know, this place is open. The lights are on. So it's sort of like there's lights on here. This must be an interesting place to be is how that draw works. But in this case, Cedric was at the house before they got there. And so I did some negotiations with Cedric. And they didn't feel that they actually didn't feel that it was up to them to kick him out if he'd been there first. He was certainly welcome to leave and move up into the light, as it's phrased and as it looks like. He was certainly welcome to do so if he chose, but they didn't feel it was their place to kick him out since he'd been there first. And so we negotiated a truce, and they gave Cedric, and this works frequently. If you're having poltergeistic activity, you can actually negotiate with the ghost. You don't have to be me. When I'm in the negotiation, I can hear the other half of the conversation. Most people can talk to the spirit, but not necessarily hear back. And when you plug me in, it's like I'm sort of I take dictation in both directions so that I can carry messages. And so Cedric wanted a place to express and to feel he was being recognized. And what I got was that they could hang a silver or glass bell. And it's not on a table, because on a table, the only way he could express was to knock it off the table. And that was what they were trying to get stopped. So they hung, I think in this case, they hung a glass bell in one corner of the main room where he was. And that made him quite content. In fact, I don't think that he ever even rang the bell when they were there, but that made him acknowledged enough that he didn't have to reach for acknowledgement. And then each year at Christmas, one of their family traditions, they celebrated Christmas, and they always had a Christmas tree, and their family tradition was that each of the kids got their own ornament every year with the notion that by the time they were adult age, they'd have a whole tree of their own personal ornaments. And so the kids that year decided Cedric ought to have an ornament of his own, so they got him a bell that they hung on the tree. And as stories go, that year they hung it on the tree, the next year they hung it on the tree. 2-3 years later, they happened to get a smaller Christmas tree. And so they didn't get out all of their boxes of ornaments. And they decorated the tree, and everything was fine, except that all of a sudden, pictures started jumping off the wall and breaking the glass in the middle of the night, and things started falling off tables in the middle of the night. And they got a hold of me, to, you know, what's wrong? We've had a good truce for a long time. What's going on? And my immediate take was, because I don't know if I even knew he had his own Christmas ornament at this point, but I did know he had his glass bell in the corner of the room. And so I went to connect with Cedric and find out what was going on. And the sense back immediately, he was not a very talkative spirit, but the sense back immediately was, it just came right out of my mouth to say, he says, where's his ornament? And I assumed we were talking about the glass bell in the corner of the room. And I'm thinking, why on earth would you guys take it down? You know? But where's his ornament? And they stopped dead and realized that they hadn't gotten out all of the boxes. They had not put Cedric's ornament on the tree. So they dug out their boxes of ornaments. They found which one had that in it. They put it on the tree, and all of the stuff settled down again. I thought that was perfectly fair. You know, they bought him an ornament. They didn't put his ornament on the tree. Of course he's going to, like, let them know that that had happened.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So there's a reality. One other house had had a ghost for years, and the folks that owned it asked me to clear that out for them because this was disruptive and distracting. And when they had a date over, the date found it very distracting to think they were alone in the house, and then all of a sudden there was an older woman standing in the kitchen glaring at them as they walked by, and they didn't feel welcome. So I went in and I cleared the house. In this was one of the first times I cleared a house, and I just sort of, like, you know, fell in that wonderful youthful optimism of, because I can, I should. And of course there would be no repercussions. I love youth. So I cleared the house, and then a few nights later, suddenly I came awake in the middle of the night, which was not my norm. And here was this beautiful young woman standing at the foot of my bed. Now, I had roommates, and I was—I have to say, I was quite young and single, and woke up to find a beautiful woman standing at the foot of my bed. And my first thought was, "Cool." You know, I didn't know if maybe my roommates had been out, and multiple people had come home to party at the house, and they were asking me to join. But my first response was, "Cool," till I started to hear her in my head, and she was mad. Ooh, she was angry. Not mad, crazy, but angry. Angry, 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 and very focused on me with that angry. And as I allowed myself to recognize what was going on, I got the whole, it was like, you know, they talk about someone's life passing before their eyes when they die. Well, I got to see this woman's life passing before my eyes as I'm lying there with my eyes wide open in the room. I know for certain I was not dreaming, and I'll clarify that in a second. And her whole life passed in front of my eyes as I watched her standing there at the end of my bed, going from very young to quite progressed in age. Don't know that she would look old to me now, but she certainly did when I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I watched that whole progression all the way through, and with that, she was showing me all kinds of memories that she had associated with the house. It was her house. And the interesting part for me was that my heart was racing. My heart was pounding, and yet I was not actually experiencing fear. So I had to literally sort that out in my own mind, that even though my body was doing physiology that I might associate with fear, I wasn't actually experiencing fear. I was just intrigued with what was going on. A little bit hesitant because this was so mad at me, but not fear to the level that my heart was racing. And later when I took that apart, what I really understood as I've studied it was, for a spirit to generate enough energy to be physically apparent, and she was indeed physically apparent. She was, God, there's a verb for that. But anyway, she had manifested herself in my room as physically visible. I almost had it. But for a spirit to generate enough energy to be physically visible, generates a lot of energy on a physical plane. And my body was responding not to fear, it was responding to that level of physical frequency going on that it took for that spirit to become corporeal. There it is. And so we went through the story, and I had a discussion with her, and then we kind of had a negotiation as I pointed out to her that she had been in the house long enough, and it was time for her spirit to progress and for her to move into the light. And I was able to get her to recognize that. And then it got, sorry for the pun, but then it got really spooky, because as she released to move into the light, her face stretched and got more and more, call it classic Hollywood ghost-like, as it were, because as she released the control over that corporeal presentation or that visible presentation of a spirit, it lost its shape, and it stretched and contorted and warped in breathtakingly bizarre ways until it was gone, and I'm laying in my bed looking at the outline of the frame around a mirror that was on my wall. So from that, the fact I hadn't started awake when she disappeared, I hadn't opened my eyes when she disappeared, just when she disappeared, I was able to see the wall behind her, tells me that I was definitely not having a sleeping experience. This was a wide awake, corporeal experience with a spirit that was a little ticked off because I just sort of cleared her out of the house. I hadn't actually realized to work with her and move her to progress her into the light when I did that. So it was a lesson well learned and nicely taught in a somewhat scary manner, but without a lot of danger to it. But very, very, very much real. The whole experience of life continuing beyond the expiration of the body is a tremendous reinforcement for me about the usefulness of life. And the usefulness of life, I mean, it's convenient if you assemble a lot of physical conveniences, whether your conveniences are a sweet circle of friends or a massive wealth that you could either enjoy yourself or pass along in generations, knowing that you've changed the future of your family for a generation or 12, or whether it's simply more directly the spiritual enhancement and progression of your world, all of life is about that. And unfortunately for some of the people that want to control many lives rather than just their own, it's not really about did you manage to control it or did you manage to force people to believe in your particular belief system. Sorry, Mr. Rumsfeld. Apologies all the way around. It's actually about that spiritual progression. And having talked with a number of people after they passed away, well, I have one client who her husband passed away, and she came to do work with me both about her own spiritual progress, but also to check in with her husband. And I have permission to do this quote. In fact, he gave me permission, and so did she. But he would tease me a lot, because at first, when she first came in, and I went and found him after he'd passed away and started to speak with him, he wasn't going to talk to me because he didn't believe in psychics. Oh, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that stuff. Which validated to her that I really had him, and then we had to negotiate that that the reason she couldn't hear him was because he'd passed away, and he'd sort of conveniently blanked that part of his history out. He kind of forgot about that. So after a while, he got used to using me as the intermediary and found that kind of convenient. I do not do mediumship, which means I don't go into trance and give over my body to these folks because they've got things to learn yet. I do twice a year do trances where I give over my body, but that's to very specific, highly developed entities. It's not just folks that recently passed over. So what I do is intermediateship, as it were. I take dictation and carry messages back and forth. And so he would tease me a lot. He always referred to me as the kid. And I'm not sure that there was that much age difference between my age and how old he was when he passed over, but I guess I looked really youthful on the other side, so he'd refer to me as the kid. And one day he told her that he had a message for the kid, which would be me. And what he said was that I had to quote it correctly and completely. So here it is. His comment was, "Don't be busy being dead while you're still alive. It's a waste of time." Freddy the dead guy. I have to give the acknowledgement. Can't use a quote if I don't attribute it. So don't be busy being dead while you're still alive. It's a waste of time. Freddy the dead guy. And what he was talking about is that we do our real life, and I, as near as I can tell, I agree with the core truths of every religion I've ever looked at. I don't necessarily agree with every teacher I've ever met, but I don't agree with every teacher I've ever met that taught physics either. You know, some of them, it was clear that they'd studied the book, but they didn't understand the concept. In fact, I didn't agree with every teacher I had that taught engineering either. One in particular, which fortunately I can't remember his name, so I'll never have to name him.
Well, I felt the same way about some history teachers.
Yeah, there you go. It's not like I've agreed with every teacher I've ever heard on any topic, or every book I've read for that matter. But what the concept is, and I see it reflected in the core of every religion I've looked at, is that we are a spiritual being. Some religions interpret that we're here for one passage through. Other religions interpret that we're here for multiple passages through. But the bottom line of that traveling through the corporeal world as a human being, as a spiritual being experiencing human lifetime, the bottom line of the whole package is that we're here to uplift the focus of our thinking out of the more, call it, base parts of human nature, mm-hmm. and into that richer spiritual and humanity part of the spectrum.
I was going to say, I have spiritual frequent flyer miles.
There you go. Exactly right. Well, I my own belief system is that God recycles. You know, and that spirits don't just get trashed at the end of the deal and thrown away and you have to start from fresh. My own belief is that God believes in recycling, whatever that is God, and I have an ever-flexing picture of
that. Do you believe in the 13-part soul?
I don't know about a 13-part soul, so I cannot answer your question.
Or spirit. It's for when you pass on and when you come back, but it's various parts of you come back with.
That's similar to what shows up in, chain-channeled Seth. That's similar to what showed up in the Seth material is group souls, but I don't remember if the Seth material had it in 13 parts of a group. Mm.
Jane Roberts,
exactly. I do believe in groups of connected souls. In fact, my own sense of it is that everybody that has a significant impact, just in case she wasn't listening earlier and in case she went, oh, my gosh, I forgot. Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
Happy birthday, Lisa Loud. Because she said she was going to be in the car and wanted to amaze her kids. So anyway, I believe that everybody that has a significant interaction in your life, that your soul at a soul level, or your core essence is a more comfortable word, your core essence, your inherent nature at an inherent nature level is connected with those entities that have a major impact on your life. So I have a huge belief that Mr. Cheney, Mr. Rumsfeld, and I have a direct soul connection. For whatever reason, they apparently stand at a center annex, as it were, and have a soul connection to a number of people that are alive on the planet right now, because they certainly had a large and visceral effect on a lot of people that were on the planet, either because they finally heard what they'd waited all their life for somebody to be sane enough to say, or they, for the first time in their life, heard somebody be that crazy and in charge of things. Whichever side of the view you want to look at, it's all the same to me. Whereas it's interesting, Sarah, I Quit, doesn't have that visceral effect on me at all. I'd watch her more like a spectator, just sort of like fascinated with this example of redneck risen to the top.
And we think of her more often as Thanksgiving comes around. And we all go out to get our turkeys.
Oh, I see. Suddenly I was at the airport because that went totally over my head. So I do believe that everybody that has a significant input in our life is deeply connected with us at a core essence level. And so I do not believe in a singular soulmate. I think that my own belief is that soulmate theory is actually a group soul theory. And that when we encounter someone that we recognize as deeply mated to our soul, because I find that it's interesting. I certainly have met people in my lifetime that were deeply mated to my soul that were either age, gender, or availability different than my preference. So I wouldn't have put them in the soulmate category because they weren't what I would date. Or my availability was to where they weren't what I would date because I wasn't dating. sorry, I went away for a moment. I was in another radio station, we'll put it that way, the other day, and the show that came on right after the show I was on started teasing me about being single, and they were teasing about doing a raffle to raffle off a date with Scout. I haven't talked to them since last week. I haven't found out how that's going. I can't tell whether I'll be less embarrassed or if my feelings will be hurt if nobody went for it. But anyway,
it's like when I go to the Century Theaters and I buy the senior pass, and you're supposed to be 65, and I'd buy the senior ticket, and I'd go in and I'd say, I don't know whether I should be happy they didn't ask for ID.
Yes.
Or insulted that they didn't ask for ID.
Yeah, should I be happy they didn't card me as a senior or bummed? That one goes back and forth, doesn't it?
Well, it's in a few months that will be strictly academic.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since anybody carded me for alcohol, that's for sure. So I do believe that everybody that's closely connected and has a deep effect is actually connected at an essence level. So phrased more colloquially, colloquially?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Would be a soul mate. And the only difference between soul mates that you pursue as a mate and those that you don't is whether or not their age, gender, and availability specific to your preferences at the time. But they are deeply connected. I view the whole thing as if that which was the original wholeness or that which was source, if you thought of it as a very deep weaving, and every place where groupings of threads cross in the weaving becomes an available entity or an available essence that might well incarnate into a body and have a human experience. And so within the general area right around us in that weaving, there are entities with whom we share a lot of threads. And further out in the weavings, there's entities with whom we share a few threads. And then there's some with whom we only share tapestry nests. We don't have any threads at all. And when you meet those people in day-to-day life, it's like when your friend says, oh, you've got to meet this other friend of mine because you have so much in common, and they finally get it together and you have food, because apparently the only way you're allowed to meet people is if there's food involved. So they have food, you know, lunch or dinner, you get together, and you meet their friend, and you do indeed overlap with lots of things in common, and yet there's no sense of connection. You know, and yet you have fewer things in common with your mutual friend, and yet a huge sense of connection. And so you could meet somebody with whom you have a lot in common and no sense of connection, and know full well that you'll bump into each other because you have so much in common, but that you're not really going to follow up on it. And yet other points in time, we meet someone that we might try to find what we have in common because there's such a sense of connection. It's like, gosh, you know, I do underwater basket weaving. Do you do underwater basket weaving? You know, no, I do nuclear bomb design as a hobby. Or it could be I pursue skydiving. Do you pursue skydiving? No, I do spelunking. You know, all of those pieces. And you keep going until finally it's sort of like, well, do you ever eat? Yes, I eat. Well, maybe we could eat at the same time. So much fun to have all the background noises. And so it's those connections at an essence-to-essence level that are what draw us together. And so when we don't share threads, we could meet somebody with whom we had a lot in common and it would go nowhere. And when we do share threads, there's the place where we can recognize that. Richard Bach, I love this book, Illusions, by Richard Bach. In fact, he's got a brand new book out. I got it the other day from Amazon. I haven't read it yet. But Illusions by Richard Bach. And in there, he talks about true family. And he says that you'll know your true family better in the first few minutes than you'll know others in hours or months, something to that effect. And then he goes on to say, and I found a lot of people really recognize this one, rarely do members of true family grow up under the same roof. So I know I've had, I dearly love my blood family, and I'm very closely connected with them. And yet I have felt closer at points in my life with what I've referred to as self-adopted brothers or sisters than perhaps even with my blood relatives at times, particularly if I get further out in my extended family. So there's that level of connection. So I did want to mention that if you'd like to chat more about these interesting things that I look at and experience some of how I work with stuff, not ghosts, but this evening I am doing a presentation in Mountain View at the Clock Tower Conference Center, which is just very close to the intersection of 237 and 101. You can get there from either direction. It's in my website. You go to my website, which is lifeinsights.net, or the .com shortcut is
notscott.com.
Notscott.com, which comes from when I introduce myself to people. My name is Scout, like Pathfinder. And frequently when I introduce myself to people, it's, hi, I'm Scout. Scott? No, Scout. Scott? No, Scout. Scout? Yeah, Scout. Oh, I thought you were saying Scott. You just had a speech impediment. So thus I got notscott.com. But go into the website, click on Wonth for Wonth of the Month Wednesday, and that'll take you right into, and it's even got like a little Yahoo thing there to give you directions and the whole bit. I'd love to see folks there tonight. It would be a treat and a delight to see you guys there and to find out that you've heard us on KKUP. That would be a definite bonus. And so that is this evening. And then I also do other events, and I do private work with individuals, which is everything from coaching work, which is a certain level of accountability, a coaching contract. We make a contract for 6 months and set a certain level of goals. And it's so interesting. My beta test people, the first people I let do coaching, it's been very interesting. All of them, at the end of their first 6 months, one of them immediately signed up, did not want it to end. The other one took a month off and then frantically came back to find out if they could sign up again. Did I still have openings? Not because it's just fun to chat with me, although maybe it is, but because of the results that they had watched. I was reviewing the results the other night with one of the coaching clients, and it's just, we were teasing about, well, yeah, any given 6 month period in your life, I'm sure that many changes would have happened, because it was all over the place. A huge change in her workplace, a tremendous change in her workplace, a tremendous change in her home between her and her son. Their relationship has completely changed. As a perhaps outcome of that, her adult age son has now recognized that rather than float along with some easy stuff he'd been doing that didn't make any money to speak of, didn't make much money, he has suddenly gotten motivated to go back to school, and he's very motivated because he's figured out a school that would fit, you know, a career direction that would fit things that he's been studying anyway in his life as interests. And so a whole package together of the results that she's had, including a major change in her relationships. So all of those have flowed in a quick 6 months of coaching. So I do coaching, but it doesn't have to be a 6 month contract. I also do individual sessions with people toward their spiritual growth or just to answer questions. That's why I call all of my work Life Insights, because it's all about insights into life, insights into your life. And it's intuitive insights. And I do also contract work for corporations. Typically, I go in where there's a log jam in their policies and procedures, and they can't figure out where the communications are getting stuck. And so things aren't flowing in terms of the workflow. And I'll go in and typically, by the time I've interviewed everyone involved, I've reframed their thinking enough by interviewing them that the problem goes away. Which is very, very fun. It's not like then we have to have a big meeting and an action plan. We just change the focus and the conceptualization of the individuals involved, and a logjam breaks away. And then I'll tell you, I'm beta testing a new piece of work. And it showed up. It's a brand new piece of work that I learned. It'll be applied in my classwork. But more than that, I'm taking on clients that want to be a beta test for this piece of work. In a client, I found the blockage that kept her from being able to speak, and not literally, but in terms of if it was important to her with her partner or in her workplace, she found she was hesitant. I found the blockage to unplug that. And when I found it energetically, what I also found was the blockage that kept her from hearing her own worth in what she did and what she said. And so we're watching the outcome of that, and I'm taking clients that want to volunteer, that want to have a session and want to try that out. I can't guarantee what the outcome is because I haven't watched it for very long, but clients that want to try that out. So mostly I'd invite people, go to my website, lifeinsights.net. If you can, join us this evening. I'd love to see you. Otherwise, send me an email, and then I can send you the updates about the information that's on the website. If you go into the radio page, you'll be able to hear more and more of our programs here, and all of that you can keep in touch. So for my part of it, this is Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears, and I'd just like to tell everybody to treat yourselves like a loved one, because you truly are, and that it's a perfect day for you to go out and have a great day on purpose.
The next time you get to hear Scout on KKUP is during our talk marathon coming up on the 28th and 29th of November. That's Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, and I will mention I'm doing a workshop at East West Bookshop on Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, that's right.
The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we'll be doing a workshop that's called Surviving a Sensitive Life, Even Around Your Family.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Timely. What?
Yes, yes. Anyway, Scout, we'll be on the 28th, 7
Saturday
p.m. Evening. Saturday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
Happy birthday, Lisa Loud.
And one from the heart, be good to each other.
And that's right.
I knew that.
Okay, coming on is
music.
Block to Block with David Madrid, who's rushing in to put on his music.